And I just want to say a few words just about our back table there. We do have a prayer card in the back table there, so please, you can avail yourself to our prayer card. We would love it if you could take one of those and pray for us. We would covet your prayers. We also do have in the back table a brochure, a little bit about our testimony, a little bit about our family, and please take one of those so you get to know who we are and how the Lord saved us. And also, there's also a booklet in the back table, also about Nipawin, the community that we're going to plant a work there. And so please pray for us in that way, that God would just really bring everything together when we get done with raising the support, and to really just launch in and take care of a business that God wants us to do there. And so also there's, my wife's going like this, there's a coloring page for the little ones in the back table. We want to be a blessing to them as well. So, and when you little ones, you can take one of those. And when you're coloring it, please think about Saskatchewan and pray for us. And so it's also a sign-up sheet. If you would like, if you desire a prayer letter, you can go ahead and just sign up on the back table there. We do have a sign-up sheet, so just please write legibly. It's something when you I've been in a lot of churches, and you know, you gotta try to differentiate the hieroglyphics. I know some of them are like doctors; you can't read them. So please, if you could write legibly, would be great. Amen. Please pray for us. We would covet your prayers. You'll probably hear that a lot from missionaries, but I believe, and they probably say it too, that prayer is a very powerful tool to in the warfare that we engage as, you know, as churches, as pastors, as missionaries. Prayer is vitally important in the Christian life. And so please, please be in prayer for us. So Matthew chapter number 5, you know, when you get to thinking about the Word of God, you know, just looking at the testimony tonight of those that received the Word of God, you know, we take for granted the Word that we have in our laps tonight. You know that? We take it for granted. And we should praise God that God allowed us to be born in a country where there is no restriction for the Bible, or there's a country that we were that wasn't available, that they weren't avail themselves to the Word of God. So praise God that God allowed you to be born in Canada, United States, wherever that may be, that God allowed you to be born with the Word of God. You know, we take it too much for granted. You know, and I really do believe that we're in a time that we're going to be persecuted shortly. I really do believe that. And it's coming. And so we need to be ready. So there in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Let ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but it to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A man that is set on a hill, a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that ye may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy tonight. Lord, I thank you that we can have the very Word of God in our laps tonight before us. We can read it. Lord, we can understand it by your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I thank you that we can partake in this service. So, Father, I pray that you just have your will and your way, Lord, in our lives. And, Lord, help us to be a light in this dark world that we live in. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You know, we see here in Matthew chapter number 5, where Christ is here on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's preaching to his disciples, he's preaching to the multitudes here, and he's giving them some instruction about the Christian life. And I always like it when Jesus is giving instruction about the Christian life, because he understands the Christian life, amen? Because he's the author of the Christian life. And so I believe he's the greatest author that we could ever glean some very important truths about how we should serve, about how we should act as Christians in the Word of God. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, in the Sermon Mount is here is a similitude about light. And light, like salt, is very important, even though we often take it for granted, just as we do often take salt for granted. You know, it's very important, the light. You know, if we would turn off all the lights in this room here, we would be in darkness. There may be a little bit of light coming in through the windows, maybe a little light coming in other different areas of the building, but the majority of the room would be in darkness. So we take, you know, just a simple fact that we have electricity, we take that for granted. We have light. It is shown abroad. It gives us the ability to see near and abroad. So it's really, really important, the light that we have as Christians. You know, we've been given the light of Christ, the light of the Word of God. And so it's really important. You know, about time that we think about the importance of light, just like when electricity goes out, you know, there is a result of a storm on the horizon is what's coming. You know, we take it too much for granted, light. You know, the fact that light is needed says that there is darkness. Amen. There is darkness. Because the heart of men is in darkness. Light is needed. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. But now he gives an admonition. He gives some instruction to his disciples here and those that are surrounded him. He's preaching the word of God to him. He says, now he turns around and he gives them a responsibility. He gives them a duty that they must perform in their Christian life. He says there in verse 16, let your light so shine. He's saying, hey, I am the light of the world. I'm the one that men and women, boys and girls need in their life. But, you know, we see here that Jesus was about to depart. He's getting ready to go. He's instructing his disciples. And so he's giving them instruction when he leaves, that they should be the light of the world, because he will no longer be there. And so we have a great responsibility, a purpose to perform in our lives. And when the world is in darkness, spiritually and morally, there is a great need for the light to shine. Amen. There's a great need. You know, throughout Scripture, sinners are often described as being in darkness. You probably would say, yes. You can see that. There in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Luke chapter 1 verse 79, the Bible says as well, to give light to them. So who's supposed to give light? To give light to them. He's talking about people. He's talking about individuals. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. There in Luke chapter 22, verse 53, when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and power of darkness. Acts chapter number 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. Wow, by faith that is in me. Wow, did you get that? Did you hear what it said there in Acts chapter 26, verse 18? To open their eyes. We have been given a responsibility. We're supposed to carry the light of the gospel that they may openly see the light of the gospel, that they may understand. Oh, what a responsibility that we have as Christians to be the light of the world, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. They are in darkness. All the people around us that we know that are without Christ, they are in darkness. They don't have the light. But we, as Christians that carry the light, have a responsibility to bring the light of the gospel that they may be delivered from the power of darkness and Satan. What a battle that we're in. What a warfare that we engage on a daily basis. It's real. You know, we take it too much for granted. What we possess, we need to invest what we possess. Therefore, we must give it. Give the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others that they may be delivered from darkness. You know, think just back for a moment when you were in darkness. You know, think about the time when you received the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you were there in Acts chapter 26. You were there. You know, can you place yourself there? Can you see the responsibility that you bear right now? It is a great responsibility that God has commanded every individual to carry the torch of the light of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Romans chapter 2, verse 19. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind. Wow. Again, the Apostle Paul gives some instruction about our responsibility. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Oh, when a person is saved, he is said that he goes from darkness to light, is what happens. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Like I said, remember where you were. Remember what happened to you when the light of the gospel was illuminated upon your heart. When it shone upon your heart. When it gave you light. You say, wow, now I get it. Wow. Now we have a responsibility to carry that torch, that light of the gospel, to a lost and dying world. You know, the world is, you know, is boasting how enlightened it has become. You know, they do. They boast, oh yeah, we've accomplished so many things. You know, the great advances of scientifically and medically and biologically and in other material areas, the world thinks it has removed the darkness. The world thinks this because of their accumulation of knowledge, the accumulation of trying to better themselves. But sadly, they're still in darkness. It only increases their moral and spiritual darkness is what it does. It's only Jesus that can bring freedom, redemption, deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. It's only by Him. Oh, you know, the world has not produced any moral or spiritual light. It has no light to show us anything about eternity. They don't know. They try to formulate all kinds of religions. They formulate, you know, evolution is a religion. They try to better man. You know, they're trying to enlighten man that they have become better. But in reality, all that embetterment, as I said, only brings spiritual and moral decay in their hearts and in their lives. You know, Christ said Christians are supposed to be the light of the world. We are that light now. When He was here walking on earth, He was preaching the Word of God, being an instructor to His disciples, being an instructor to those who are following Him, and to give that they must be the light of the world. And now He says, hey, we are that light. We are supposed to go forth. You know, this is a real, real importance that Christ is instructing His disciples. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. He goes on, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Amen. So it's the importance of understanding the real force of this statement is ye and ye alone are the light of the world. Pardon me. Excuse me. To know the kind of light that the Christian is to give out, we need to know the source of this light. And the source of this light is having a personal relationship, an intimate time with Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, it's vitally important. You know, it's counterproductive. We're not going to spend time with Christ to be the light of the world. It is. It's counterproductive. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the one that empowers us. He's the one that gives us the enablement to be the light of the world. It's not by our own power. It's not by our own personality. It's not by our own wonderful intellectual understanding of philosophy and the wisdom of this world that's going to bring men and women to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh no, dear believer, it's more than that. It's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's what it is. Do we understand that? Do we comprehend that? That relationship is where we get our power. Is where we get our power. It's not coming to church. It's not sitting in a pew. It's not praying a prayer when the pastor asks you to come and pray for the offering. That empowers you. It's your relationship that will empower you. Have you spent time with God? It's important to do that. Really important. Because that's where we truly are a Christian in our private life. You know, when we come to church, normally we put on our best self, is what we do. But when we're behind closed doors, when we by ourselves, who are we really? Are we just like the world? Or are we like that Christ has commanded us to be the light of the world? It's a relationship, is what it is. Oh, you know, I remember when I got saved. I was in darkness. I truly was. I thought that, you know, I was in a Mennonite religion. I thought my baptism I thought my good works would save me. I was really sincere in what I believed. You know, there are people that are really sincere in what they believe in other religions, but they're sincerely wrong. You know, when the light came to this heart, you know, I realized I didn't deserve it. You know, I really realized that. You know, and when I got saved, I heard about having a personal relationship with Christ. And like, I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that involved in having a relationship with Christ. You know, it involves only two. That's all it involves. Just like with a man and a wife, husband and wife, it only takes two for a good relationship, for it to last for many years. But with our relationship with Christ, it takes time to build. It really does. You're not going to be super Christian overnight. You know, it's really important in the area of being the light of the world that we understand it all revolves around Jesus Christ in our relationship with Him. It all revolves around Him. Missions revolves around Christ. Church revolves around Christ. Preaching revolves around Christ. Everything we do revolves around Christ if we're serious about being the light of the world to a lost and dying world. So important. So what is it that is to shine in the saints? Well, it says there in Matthew chapter number 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's our good works, not works in order for salvation, how we conduct ourselves as Christians. Because some people in this world, it may be that you are the only Bible that they may read. It's so very true. You know, Pastor made reference to, you know, those that have never heard. Do you know that there are people in Canada that have never heard the gospel? Never have. Because we won't go to them. We think, oh, we've already reached our area. Oh, no. I remember at different occasions knocking on doors there in Kenora, Ontario. And there have been people at those doors that have never heard the gospel. You realize that here in Hamilton, do you realize that there are people here that haven't even heard the gospel once? And then we're concerned about, you know, reaching those that haven't heard, never heard it once. What about, you know, I am all for going overseas and reaching the lost that are out there. You know, I've got a heart for Canada. I've always have. I love Canada. We live in a good country. But our country needs people to shine as lights in a dark and wicked world. It's so important that we shine. It really is. We need to, you know, understand. I had someone tell me this year, And I was kind of taken back a little bit about it. I disagreed with him that we should forget about Canada. Totally forget about it. Because the light is gone. It's out. And I'm like, no. I told this gentleman, no, it's not out. I told him that the only reason why that it may be going out for you is because you become commonplace. You become complacent in your Christian life. Oh, it's time to rise up, dear believers. It's time to get serious about Christianity. You realize the outcome of our country just in this last election, I believe, is for a reason. I believe God's trying to get our attention, is what he's trying to do. We had it so good, we take things for granted. That's why I said earlier, we take things for granted. Bible, our Christian life, when we got saved, we take it all too much for granted. You look at those people that were there in Africa. They were rejoicing just to receive Matthew and Revelation. That, I tell you, it stirred my heart. It really did. You know, we have to think about what is our purpose. Our purpose is to be a light in the lost and dying world. Do we understand that? Do we grasp that? Sometimes I wonder if I understand it. I get complacent in my own life. I'm like, Lord, you know, I remembered many times this year traveling along, you know, spending some times alone at night, you know, in a campground praying, Lord, stir my heart. You know, it just, there's so much out there. There's so many needs, so many places that need a church. Just in Canada alone. You know, I wish I could clone myself. Right? You could wish that for yourself, Pastor McLean. You could clone yourself. And I'll send myself to go over there. You know, oh, that we would have a heart. That we would be concerned of lost souls. That we would be concerned. That we would bear our responsibility and be the light that God has commanded us. Here in Matthew chapter number 5, it says, ye are the light of the world. You have a responsibility. You have that life that I have imparted to you. Now give it to others. Give it to them. So we see that it's so important that we are real. People will see our good works. That we're real Christians. That we just don't name ourselves Christians, but that we actually live as Christians. Because the world needs to see Christians getting serious about what they believe. You see Muslims, they are sincere about their religion. You don't see Christians being as sincere as Muslims. You know, they'll go out and bomb people. Are we willing to go out and bomb people with the gospel? You know, give them the gospel. We have the boldness of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Yet we tremble in fear. And we are bashful. And we slide back and become complacent in our Christian lives. Oh, dear believer, I encourage you tonight that, oh, you don't have to be that way. You can do more for the cause of Christ. I think about a passage of scripture that comes to my mind right now about the Apostle Paul. I believe, you know, next to Christ, Apostle Paul had some real good understanding about the Christian life. I really do. You know, he wrote most of the New Testament that we have. He wrote most of it. And so he had some understanding about the Christian life. He knew about the sacrifice that was required in the Christian life. Oh, dear believer, that we would understand, that we would be the light of the world that God requires us to be. You know, we see number one, the precept. for displaying the light. He says there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, ye let your light shine before men. God gives a command that we should be a light. Number two, the pattern for displaying the light. The pattern. There in verse number 14 and 15, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, if you're going to shine, and you're going to throw your torch up, and you're going to run around and say, I got the life. I've got something for you. I've got the message that you need in your Christian life. Oh, that we would understand that we would just have that, we would understand the pattern. We have been given so much. We have been given that we needed to go out and deliver the gospel. You know, Christ gives, you know, two just great examples or patterns how our light should be displayed. It's like, number one, the city on a hill. You know, a city on a hill is very conspicuous. It is. You're like, wow, what's way out there? Have you ever noticed when you're driving at night that there's like a, you know, like an aura, you know, of a light shining in the sky? You know, you see there's something off in the distance, but there's not enough light to see what is being displayed as you see the light being in the horizon in the nighttime. And it's very vivid. There's light there, but it's not very clear. It's dim. It's very dim. And as you get closer and closer and closer and closer, more light reveals and dispels the darkness. You can see a little bit more clear of what is about to happen. So it's a city on a hill, is what it is. You know, like manner, Christians are supposed to be like that light on that city on a hill. People get kind of curious. What's over there? It's kind of conspicuous. What's going on? And as you get closer, as people are drawn to that light, they get a little bit curious. What's going on? What's happening? They desire to know a little bit more about that light. You know, as Christians, shine, the lost will start being attracted to the light. And they'll say, what is going on over there? Kind of curious. So it's like a city on a hill. It's very conspicuous. Brings a lot of curiosity. That's this one pattern that Christ, it's like a city on a hill, way far away. And also it's like a candle in the house, he describes. Neither do men light a candle under a bushel. Would you put a candle underneath a bushel? What would happen to that bushel? It'd probably go up in flames in some time. It'd be a bright light, is what would happen. Like, whoa! What just happened? It'd be just a sudden burst of light. You know, just like the first, it emphasizes the conspicuousness, brings curiosity. It is an example of a lamp in a house being put on a lampstand, and it gives forth the most light. You know, people will get attracted to light if we're willing to carry our torch. People will get attracted to it. But it takes us to be that lampstand that people will be attracted to that light. And we need to bear up our responsibility to be that pattern that people may see, hey, there's something going on over there. There's a pattern. Something very conspicuous going on over there is what's happening. And so we see that, and we understand that the Christian should profess and perform as a light in a dark and dying world. It shouldn't be a secret. It's not a secret of what we carry. We should never be embarrassed. You know, I think about there in Romans chapter number 1. Oh, what a powerful passage of Scripture. Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to quickly turn there. Romans chapter number 1, where the Apostle Paul, he says something here that he says there in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed." We should never be ashamed of the light of the gospel. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The Apostle Paul wasn't ashamed to carry his light. He was very open about it. He's very conspicuous. He's like, "Hey, I got the light. And I want to tell you what happened to me. Jesus saved my soul." Is what the Apostle Paul did. Everywhere he went, he told people about Jesus Christ and what he did in his life. You know, it's no different today as it was when Apostle Paul walked on the earth. We can do the very same thing. We can go and carry our light and say, "Hey, this is what happened to me. This is what Jesus did for me. He delivered my soul from the path of darkness and gave me light that I may live for eternity." Oh, dear believer, we need to allow this pattern of light to shine forth from our hearts. You know, there's a place that we must go to display this light. "Let your light shine before men." That's the place. It's men, women, boys and girls, young people, teenagers, young adults. They all need the light of the gospel to be shone upon their hearts. It's a very dark place where we need to go, where it's desperately needed, and it's a very dangerous place. Shining before men can be dangerous. You know, the Bible says there in John chapter 3, verse 20, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. A righteous man is an abomination to the wicked. They don't like the righteous. Wicked people do not like the righteous. I just remember, you know, that one gentleman I gave an illustration of this morning, told about this morning, that where he just was so angry with me and did not want to hear about the message of Jesus Christ that could save his soul. You know, there are people out there, they'll just resist. They don't want to hear. They don't want to know. They hate the righteous. They don't want to know anything about. You know, when you work with lost people, and when I was in Kenora, I was employed by a lost man. And all the people that worked for him were all lost. I tried to be a light. I gave each and every one of them the gospel. One professed to be saved, is what he said. He did come to church for a while, but got out of church. You know, it broke my heart. You know, I tried so hard to be a witness, tried so hard to help them to see the light of the gospel. And it's so important that we carry our torch to a lost and dying world. You know, my last day of work, I created an opportunity to be a witness one more time. I bought them all coffee from Tim Hortons, is what I did. And I bought them all donuts, is what I did. And so they all sat down for coffee break. And as they were sitting down and enjoying their double-double, triple-triple, one cream or black coffee from Tim Hortons, I once again tried to be a witness. I gave them a booklet that they could read. It was called Done. I don't know if you know about that book, Done. Great book, you know, to help the lost to see their need of a Savior. You know, take opportunities. You know, the testimony this evening. Take opportunities to be a witness. To help the lost see their condition, that they're in darkness. Help them. It's vitally important that we, as Christians, display our light. Display it before men. Lastly, the purpose for displaying that light is, number one, to enlighten. You know where we're supposed to go? Help them to see, number one, that they're sinners. Making it pretty simple. To enlighten. Lights are to enlighten. If you're a light, you're to enlighten those that are in darkness. Light saints are to shine in order to enlighten people spiritually and morally. You know, we have that responsibility. Christ has given us that duty, that command to go and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. We're supposed to enlighten them. Ye are the salt of the world. You know, ye are the light of the world. What does salt do? There in verse number 13, what does salt do? Anybody know? Flavor. Doesn't that sound interesting? You're supposed to be the flavor of the world. You set the standard. We are supposed to set the standard of the world, not the lost. Amen. We're supposed to help them see their need. Just like the children of Israel, they were supposed to be the light in their time. They're in the Old Testament. They were supposed to be a light. They were supposed to carry, you know, the message of God to the heathen nations. And if they didn't repent, they were supposed to destroy them. And so, it's the same thing today. We have been given a command to go and deliver the message of God to a lost and dying world, that they need to see, that they may come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Oh, we've been given so much. We need to enlighten. Number two, we're to expose. We're supposed to expose their sin, their unrighteousness. You know, if that's what light does. You know, just like I said earlier, if you would turn off all the lights, there would be darkness in here. You probably would see a little bit of light in places, but it'd be pretty much as dark. But if you flick it on, poof, darkness is gone. It's been expelled. It's been driven away by the power that it has received. And we all been given the power, the boldness, just like it's there in Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 3 and 4, where the apostles there, they were energized by the Holy Spirit, and they were a source of light. God empowered them to be the light of the world. They already had the Holy Spirit, but they waited for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so are we supposed to, you know, expose the darkness. We've been given that power, that boldness, to go reveal the moral decay, the spiritual decay of a lost and dying world. Number three, we're to exalt. Who are we supposed to exalt? We're supposed to exalt the name of Christ, is what we're supposed to do. Lift him high, because it's Jesus that saves. It's Jesus that delivers a soul from darkness. It's not you. It's only done by the power of God. It's only done by him. So we need to lift up the name of Jesus. Lift him high, that people may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As it says there in verse number 16, it says, hey, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're supposed to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with our lives. That's why you're here. You're here to glorify God. You're not here for self. You're here for God. If you're saved here this evening, you're here to glorify God with your life. Nothing else. To glorify God is what you must do. And how can you do that? By being a light. Being a light. Like the song says, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Are you gonna let your light shine in a dark and dreary world that we live in? One day we're gonna be delivered. One day we'll stand before Christ. And what will Christ say to us? You know, Christ commanded his people to be the light of the world. There in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. That means Christ has given us the source to display that light. There in John chapter 16. Oh, wow, what a powerful truth here. John chapter number 16. There in verse number 7. The Bible says, John 16, verse number 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now let me ask you, where does the Holy Spirit dwell right now? In your heart. What will the Holy Spirit do? Expose, reprove the world of sin. If we have the Holy Spirit, that means we have the enablement, we have the power, we have the authority to go and carry the light of the gospel to a lost and dying world, is what we have. But it goes on to say, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself. This is the good part. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. He's going to glorify Christ. And so therefore, if you have the Holy Spirit, the source of enablement, the source of power in your Christian life, that means that we have the boldness to go out to a lost and dying world to give the gospel to those that need. Oh, dear believer, we've been given so much. So much. Oh, if we would just allow the Holy Spirit to control where He abides, I believe we would accomplish more for the cause of Christ. I really believe. Oh, I need to give myself more. We all need to give ourselves more. So first of all, as you yield yourself to the controlling power of the Holy Spirit in your life, we establish a deeper relationship with Christ. I mentioned that at the first, and I'm mentioning it again at the last. It's all hinged upon your relationship. If you want to be a light, it all starts privately. Is where it starts. That's where it starts, privately. Second of all, the light may shine to glorify the work of God. It's all His work anyway. He's performing in us. As the Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's His work. Allow Him to finish it. Ye be the light of the world. So Christ purchased you and delivered your soul from darkness to be the light of the world. You know, it's only by an act of faith that we give ourselves, yield, submit ourselves to be the light, to fulfill God's wonderful plan that God has for you and for you alone. He's got a perfect plan for each and every one of us. He does. A perfect plan. He really does. But it all is hinged upon our submission, our relationship to be the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You, Lord, for Your love and mercy. And Lord, I pray that You would just take control, that You would just have Your will and Your way, Lord, in our lives. That's what we want. That's what we should really desire, that we do what You want in our lives. Lord, I love You and I thank You for what You will accomplish tonight. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Pastor.